Welcome back, friends. Welcome back, friends. So we had a very superficial gloss, I know it was, over the modern scholarship. I thought the major work had been done between Mager and Fortescue, and then actually Dom Dix, the Anglican monk, he barred some light. But now we're in conclusion, exhortation, personal application mode. So what does all this have to do with you and me and Father sitting here today? I was in a recent conversation regarding two high school men, high school age men. They were juniors or junior, senior. One came from a divorced, nominally Catholic home, And the other one was from a good Catholic home, but by no means traditional. And both of those owned men, out of their own volition, sought out the Latin Mass because they found something within their spirits that they were needing. And they found themselves really enjoying the Latin Mass. And they started going back very, very often, and they started bringing their friends along with them. And I found that very, this is mother of one of the young men telling me about this. And I found it interesting because it pointed to Dom Dix or pointed to, you know, the Didache or wherever, that there's this deep human need to worship God and to worship him well. And I think it takes a great amount of theological study and cynicism to dampen that voice because it's so much a part of the human spirit. The early Christians gathered together to be accused of Christian. So Dix will make this point that to be accused of being a Christian, well, torture was a real useful, that was standard method in courts is to, well, let's torture him to see if that's true. And then you don't have too much way of countering that argument. So if your neighbor wanted your land, he'd make accusation that you're a Christian. You get tortured. Who knows what you're going to say under torture? Not much recourse. And yet, that desire to receive the Eucharist, to be together in community. Mager states this. This is how he'll state this. Reason demands the worship of God, but it tells not the time, place, or ceremonial. Only divine revelation could determine these things. So we come back to Dom Dix's clear statement that changes in the shape of the liturgy directly, and good or for bad, affect society. About the young men's experience tied into your recent scholarship of what you have found with the youth and the attraction of the Latin Mass.
Yes, there's a definitely a groundswell, and I connected it with Peter because I know he was one of the principal intercessors in the early church, and there's really no way his right could be as big as it is if it were just some sort of hard stop or break between prior to 300 and after 300. It doesn't make sense that the church wouldn't have had a liturgy looking much like the liturgy we have today. The church wasn't interested in inventing new things. And in fact, after Vatican II, the Roman Rite is the only one that changed. And that to me tells me that the demons are very upset by it. And they attacked specifically the Roman Rite and none of the other rites, because that was, in my opinion, the Rite of St. Peter. And if you topple that, you've got 98% of the church going down.
So when you use that phrase, Father, the Mass of St. Peter or the Rite of St. Peter, What is it that you, how do you define that?
Well, it's the center of, really, Rome was the center of the universe, and the church used that to spread her apostolic outreach. And so as the center of the church, that was the central liturgy. That was the liturgy that bound all of us together. Of course, we have the other lung. You could say it's a much smaller lung because the Eastern rites are only 2% of the church. But nonetheless, we have this monolith, this major heart that helps us stay unified as one church. And the Latin, that static language, as I've said so many times, keeps us reversing the curse of Babel.
I know language changes. Just ordering a Bible for a goddaughter's confirmation. ESV, studied out of it at Augustine, and it's fine. But you need these, when it's in the vernacular, the language changes, what, every 40 years, 50 yes. years? It's just a constant. That's the nature of language.
Absolutely. Yes, and you need that stabilizing force. You need that unity, and it really does. The exorcists are starting to tell us more and more that Latin language, it provides unrest, it provides anger, it provides befuddlement to the demons. They don't like it. They hate it, and they don't really function well when they see our faithful going back to that center of unity and truth. Because again, the demons, not only do they not like Latin, they don't like uniformity. They like to be subversive. They like us to be separated. And it's not a good thing that we speak different languages. That's a punishment.
Yes. Yes. We have a few more minutes. Would you have any, words of exhortation for the people as they are on their Lenten journey or towards Eucharist or anything else that the Lord may put on your heart?
Yes, I've said several times, and it's worth repeating, the liturgy isn't something for us to go in expecting to get something out of it. The liturgy is us donating ourselves to God and showing him we're still trying to get that down payment. We're still trying to perfect ourselves. And so we don't go into it slavishly following it either. In the classic model, the faithful would have come into the church without pews, and they would have been doing devotions. They would have been doing Stations of the Cross. They would have been kneeling in front of St. Joseph if they had a devotion to him. They would have been saying the rosary. They would have been doing all sorts of things, or even discussing theology quietly among themselves. And then when the bells rang, that was time to focus on the altar. That was time to know that you were in eternity. When that first bell rang at the epiclesis, and really that first turn at the offertory, that's the opening of the eternal window to us. And then it closes again as the priest makes that final turn at the final blessing. So that is when you focus on the altar. That is when you really try to get deeply into prayer. Before that, they were mulling around everywhere in the church. They were all over the place, showing their devotion and their love. And any type of prayer was unified with what the priest was doing. The priest was going to God and from God on behalf of the people. And the people understood that. I think a lot of times people think it's what they have to, what they're doing. No, it's what you're giving to God. That's the important part.
I had a mother, she came to the Latin Mass after, I think they have quite a large family. In any event, she realized the priest can offer the Mass and she can offer her children, her relationships, right? She can offer that which is going on, her own personal prayers that you just said, and the priest can offer it because there was a silence, that there was this moment. And she felt so very free. And as opposed to, oh, I've got to be off saying this and doing that, doing this. And there would be a tension. She felt much greater peace and unity, a unification with what was the sacrifice.
That's right.
You know,
during a daily mass, you can come anytime you want during the mass. Not obligatory. Now it's laudatory to be there from the very beginning, but you know, Sunday mass, you know, strictly speaking, you have to be there for the gospel. It's not good to keep showing up late and, you know, in time for the gospel, but that's strictly your obligation. And we should realize that the beauty of the mass is that sometimes we're late because of traffic or what have you, but especially during Lent, you hear this Benedicamus Domino in the pre-55. That's because Ite Missa Est was go out, you know, get going, get your apostolate going. The Benedicamus Domino in the violet seasons is trying to encourage people to stay at Mass and offer their thanksgiving. So it's not saying go out, it's saying blessed be God, let's continue the praise, let's stay in church for a little bit longer and show God how thankful we are for him.
That's wonderful, wonderful. All right, my friends, there's a little bit of food for thought there on what did Jesus do, what did Peter do? Again, we thank Father for being here. And I will ask him if he would be so kind to give us all a blessing.
Okay, very good. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We ask Almighty God to bring his benevolence, his omnipotence upon all of us, to keep us on the way that leads to heaven and off of the broad way that leads to perdition. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et manet semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Till the next time, my friends. Fides et ratio.